It's wonderful, isn't it? Just the privilege of praying. And it's part of what I want to talk to you about this morning. Because I wanted to ask you a question. Have you ever been surprised when God has answered your prayers? You ever been amazed? Yeah. Yes and no, yeah. There's a legend about a small town in which there were no liquor stores or nightclubs. And eventually, however, a nightclub was built right in the main street. And one of the churches in the area was so concerned and disturbed that they conducted lots of prayer meetings and half nights of prayer, praying that this nightclub would burn down. Anyway, lightning struck the nightclub, and sure enough, it was completely destroyed by fire. And the owner, knowing how these believers had prayed, sued the church for damages. And his attorney claimed that their prayers, you see, had caused the lightning and the fire. The church, on the other hand, hired a lawyer and contested these charges. And during the trial, the judge declared, "It's the opinion of this court that the owner of the nightclub is the one who really believes in prayer, while the church members do not." Thinking about this morning, growing in faith. And I want us to think back to that scripture reading we had about Peter in prison, and it was in Acts 12:1-17. It seemed like an impossible situation. Peter was in prison, he was surrounded by 4 squads of soldiers, and each squad had 4 soldiers in it. So that's a lot of soldiers, isn't it? How's your maths? Yeah, great. And he was actually chained to two of these soldiers, and there are others on guard at the gate. And somehow he fell asleep. I don't think I could sleep with that situation, but anyway, he fell asleep. And on this occasion, there was no lightning, no fire, no earthquake, but an angel. An angel came to wake him, and he caused his chains to fall off and then led him out of the prison. It's a story we know fairly well, I think. But Peter thought he was dreaming. And as it says in Scripture, he thought it was a vision. Excuse me. He thought he was dreaming. And then he realised, when the angel left him, he sort of came to his senses and realised that this wasn't a dream, that he was really out of prison. So he went to the house of Mary, wasn't it, the mother of John Mark, knocks on the door. And forgive me just for reminding you of this story, because it is absolutely amazing. He's knocking on the door, calling out, and Rhoda, the servant girl, hears Peter's voice, doesn't even open the door. And she goes back and tells everybody, "Look, Peter's at the door." And what do they say? Do you remember what they said? Yeah, well, good enough, you're dreaming. It sounds like the Castle movie, doesn't it? You're dreaming. They said, in my version, the New Living Translation, "You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind." But poor old Peter is still there, knocking away. And eventually, they opened the door and they were amazed. They were amazed. But listen, look at how they prayed in verse 5. I don't know what version you've got there, Dale. Could you read verse 5? Right, the church prayed earnestly to God for him. Now, we're going to think about this for a moment. The church prayed. I must say I was so moved as you were praying this morning, because that's what you were doing as a church. You were praying. And that's really special. I felt so touched as I heard prayer after prayer. And the scripture says, just read the verse again, please, Dale. The church prayed earnestly to God for him. Now, notice that it said the church prayed to God. Now, we would think that was the only way to pray to God. But when you think about it, sometimes we can be saying a prayer, and I put that in inverted commas, we can be saying a prayer, but our minds are 1,000 miles away. Words can be coming out of our mouth, but our mind can be focused on something else. Ever had that experience? But here, they were very focused. The church prayed to God. And it says that prayed earnestly, doesn't it? Earnestly, which means they really meant business. Their heart was right in it. And they prayed for him, for Peter. So they were specific prayers, definite prayers, not sort of vague things, but definite prayers. I heard a lot of definite prayers this morning. That was just great. So that verse contains so much. And almost, we could almost leave it at that. But the church of God, the church earnestly prayed to God for him. So there's... Anyway, I'll try not to get too carried away with that, because I just find it very helpful, that verse. So even though they prayed like that, they were still amazed. But think how this would have helped their faith to grow. This experience. They're there in that room praying for Peter, and he turns up after being in prison with four squads of four soldiers and chained to two of them and other soldiers at the gate. Still, the Lord let him out. So, I was forgetting, getting so carried away there. I was forgetting about all of these points. I'll try and do better. So this morning I want us to think about this subject of growing in faith, because I think it is a very important subject for us each. And so that's what we're thinking about. And I've got a Bible study group that meets in my house, and not so long back we spent time exploring this subject. Now the other reading I had there was from Luke 17 verse 5. And the disciples said to the Lord, "Lord, show us how to increase our faith." So they really wanted to grow in faith. So as we explore this subject, we're in good company this morning, company of the apostles. And when you think about that other reading we had, we'll sort of be jumping a little bit here. Firstly, we see that Jesus recognised that sometimes our faith is very small. Jesus recognised that. A mustard seed is about the smallest of seeds, isn't it? I'm not a gardener or a... very small, isn't it? And so one of the things is that what we find is that in the eastern area of the world, people often exaggerated in order to get their point over. And as we look at this story in Luke 17, we see that Jesus really was using this exaggeration in a sense. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, so we can't get much smaller than that, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and go and disappear, and it will happen, Jesus said. So there was this sense of exaggeration to get your point over. And we find that in other parts of Scripture. But what Jesus is communicating is that what seems to us so often to be impossible, it becomes possible with God. That's what Jesus was trying to get over. Those things that sometimes seem absolutely impossible to us become possible with God. And the thing is that mustard seeds grow. It doesn't just stay there. You put it in the ground and it grows. So Jesus recognised that our faith is sometimes small, but it can grow. It can grow. So how does this happen? And we really need to exercise the faith that we have. Now these days, I've never known so many people to run in marathons and half marathons. And is anybody here running a marathon? Have you done that, Joe? Yeah.
Not lately.
What about you, Craig? You've run a bit? Yeah. So I must say I'm not a runner myself. I like to walk a bit, but I'm not a runner. And some of us would struggle to run 100 metres, wouldn't we? Or maybe even 10. But the thing is, we need to exercise to get stronger. You don't just suddenly run in a marathon. You've got to train, you've got to build yourself up and exercise. And it's the same with anything that we do. So we need to exercise the faith we have. Now, I don't know if I've told you the story before of my sister-in-law, Sue. My brother, I'll just try and reduce the story a bit, but my brother had been a farmer out near Parks and he sold his farm and he and Sue bought a news agency up at Charlestown in Newcastle. And anyway, my brother, who had sort of grown up in an environment of faith, as it was in our family, he was beside himself one day and talked to a friend in a shop nearby and went to the friend's church and he just gave himself to the Lord, got totally converted. Now, my sister-in-law, Sue, was completely unchurched. She didn't know anything about Christian things, nothing. And she went to church the next Sunday and she got converted. Anyway, they were living in this house at Warner's Bay. And next door to them, they had quite a big garden and Sue loved gardening. But next door, there was an alcoholic living and he had neglected his house. It was all run down and the fence between them was falling down. And this alcoholic had about 100 cats. Now, that's a slight exaggeration, but he had a lot of cats. And the cats kept coming into Sue's garden and messing it up. Now, here's Sue, a brand new Christian, not knowing about faith much or prayer. She's brand new. But she prayed and she said, Lord, oh Lord, would you please put a boundary around our house so the cats won't ruin my garden. That's a fair enough prayer, isn't it? Anyway, it was either the next day or the day after, they opened the front door of their house and sitting right on the front mat was an Alsatian dog. And this dog sort of wouldn't leave them. And they tried, they advertised to see if there was somebody who owned a dog, somebody who'd lost a dog. And the dog, nobody claimed the dog, and the dog just was there as though this is where it had always lived and loved the family and everything. Well, you can imagine what happened to cats. So, you see, there are times in our lives when God answers our prayers in a very miraculous way. It doesn't happen every time. But when these times happen, what does it do to our faith? Just builds it. Beginning of last year, I was on a trip to Greece and Turkey to visit the churches that are mentioned in Revelation, and just to follow some of the history there, and it was a wonderful trip. And I met an American couple on that trip, Dan and Margie. And this couple were wonderful Christian people. They were just terrific. Anyway, Dan one day told us, we're sitting around the meal table, and he told us about the fact that he'd been in finance, working in finance, and he felt the Lord was calling him to give his life to serve in the church. Anyway, he was, you know, it took him a big struggle, and eventually he agreed. And he'd been in finance, so he'd been on a very high salary. Anyway, he started working in the church and he got his first paycheck, and he looked at it. He thought it was just a tip, because compared with what he'd been getting before, it was just almost nothing, you know. So, and his wife wasn't working, and so this was really difficult. But all summer, they were especially working with the young people, and all summer they were driving around and driving the kids around and driving the kids around, but they had no money. And he said that all summer their car, the petrol gauge, didn't get below a quarter full. And he was still amazed at this. He says, I'm telling you, this is what happened. We drove and drove, but that car didn't get below a quarter full. You see, God does these incredible things to help us in our journey, to help us help build our faith. And when we hear these kind of stories, that helps to build our faith too, when we hear what's happened to other people. Now, another way to help us in building our faith is faith-sized prayers. And I think sometimes we perhaps pray really big prayers that we haven't got faith for. Like if we say, oh Lord, save the world, you know, that's a pretty big prayer. But if we bring our prayers down to sort of faith-sized prayers, as they are answered, it helps to build our faith. For example, Lord, help me to show your love to someone today. That's a faith-sized prayer, isn't it? Help me to get through this day without too much stress. Or maybe, if things are a bit heavy on us, you know, Lord, help me to get through the morning without too much stress. And then you get through the morning, then Lord, help me to get through the afternoon. You know, just faith-sized prayers. I read a book once about a Christian family that moved into a new neighbourhood, and they wanted to meet their neighbours in a very natural way. It, with the long-term thought that they would be able to talk to them about Christ and meet them. So they said, Lord, we pray that we'll meet our neighbours in the most natural way. Now they had children and their neighbours had children. And then they heard this great commotion outside and they went outside, as did the next door neighbours. They went outside because their kids were having a fight with each other. Now, is there a more natural way to meet your neighbours? Now, in all of this, we need to remember that Jesus is vitally interested in every single detail of our lives. I love the way J.B. Phillips paraphrase puts the verse in Philippians. J.B. Phillips' paraphrase, but don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need. J.B. Phillips says, tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer. And then, if we're thinking about this matter of building our faith, let's encourage each other, friends. Encourage each other. And share our stories with each other. See, look what it says in Romans 1 and verse 12. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but also want to be encouraged by yours. So, if I just tell you one more story. In the Bible study group that I have, there's a couple that come, Lorraine and Jerry, and you might know them. They go worship at Tuggeranong. They live just up on the corner from me, so I see quite a bit of them. But Jerry's been quite sick over the years, and there were times when we wondered if he'd actually make it. And Jerry, he'd had a kind of faith, but he got to the stage where he wasn't sure what was ahead for him because he was so sick. And it came to him one day, it was as though the Lord just touched him, and he realised he was in God's hands. And it just changed him. It changed him. Now, Jerry's doing reasonably well at the moment, health-wise, but if you hear Jerry give his testimony, he just says, I'm in his hands. Whatever the future holds, I'm in his hands. And when he says it, he kind of shines with his faith and his trust in God. And I'm always blessed, and I'm encouraged by it. And see what the scripture says? When we get together, Paul says, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. So let's be people who encourage each other. So as we see and hear the faith of others, we're encouraged and it helps us to grow because faith builds faith. So in a way we've only touched on this subject this morning, but may this week be a week of growing in faith, exercising our faith and realising we are in God's hands. So God bless you, my friends.